Brian, I have a question for you.
Hit me with it, man. Let's hear it.
Have you ever met Jesus in a bar?
I met this cat named Jesus one time, man.
Were you having tequila?
No, man. I think he worked in the kitchen.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that Blast Monster?
Does that count? I've met, bro, I play some music at some kind of janky places and stuff. Actually, some weird places in Nashville I've been. And met some characters that you're not really sure that they're telling you their right name anyways, or that you're hearing it right. But no, I don't know that I have had a real deeply spiritual encounter at what should be considered a bar. Ish. There's 3,000 people. It was like festival slash, but it wasn't like, it was more Bonnaroo than like Catalyst or whatever. Yeah. So
I'm not to say that I was in a bar, and I got to confess that and maybe lose my license as simply as a God, but no, I've not mentioned.
I'm not worried about losing license as a minister. No one's listening to me.
No one's listening.
On either, not just in the podcast, but like outside of the podcast. No, most people probably are like, yeah, you can find him in a bar. He looks like the guy you would find in a bar.
That is the question we aim to answer with our guest, Kylie Small. She is a Louisiana native.
Yeah.
In Nashville, chasing a dream and making music, and is a faith-based country singer. And she has a song called Jesus in a Bar. Kylie, welcome to the show.
Hey, so great to be on here. Thank y'all so much for having me.
Yeah.
We try to have some hot takes, right? So you're from Louisiana, so I had to ask. Where are you on a crawfish? You all in on crawfish, or is it like,
eh? I'm all in on crawfish. My family knows that whenever I come home to visit, there better be a crawfish bowl waiting on me. And they always deliver.
She even said the right words. Bowl.
There's a crawfish.
Bowl.
Bowl. Yeah. No, because what all is in on that for you? Like, I feel like everybody has a little, it's spicy for you. It's no. There's okra involved. Like, what's the story?
See, I'm not big on okra, and that might be a hot take with some of my Louisiana people. My big pop, he cooks our crawfish and does all of our crawfish bowls, and it's so good. That's my grandpa, Big Pop.
Big and Pop. Oh, that may make the list for me one day.
Big it's Pop? A good one.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, his is real spicy. We've got corn, potatoes, mushrooms, the crawfish. Sometimes we'll go a little crazy and add some shrimp in there. But just if it's not like burning going down, then it's not right. It's not seasoned enough.
It's not burning going down. Like, I am not going to be able to get this bowl.
Okay, so when the girl says, if it's not burning going down, right? I'm like, I for sure know this is the person who wrote Jesus in a Bar. Right? Like, it's got to burn your throat or the Lord wasn't in it, right? Yeah, so... Interesting. Okay, yeah. So crawfish. Are you're a fan?
No.
No.
I don't know yet. I think I've had it twice. I'm
you would know on the first time, right? Tell him. You would know. You would taste it and it would be like, I was born for this.
Yeah, and the peeling it, there's a whole technique with that. Like, I'm so quick with it. I can just do it. It's a skill though, you have to acquire.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? Are you in a crawfish?
Oh, I'm down for sure. All things seafood. The people who say, okay, I know this is not what we're supposed to talk about. The people who say, I like fish, I just don't like fishy fish. I meant there's a part of me that could get violent because, what do you mean you don't, like, no, you don't like fish. Just say, I don't like fish. But it's like they're afraid of hurting fish's feelings or something. I like fish. I like fishy fish. I like all the crawfish, even crab legs. My fingers weren't built to break them right.
You're gonna use the little.
Yeah, I don't know. I married a woman who could do it for me. So I bet you're good, right? You're good with the crab leg stuff, like breaking them and making it all come out right.
No, see, I don't have crab legs often. Like, we don't. That's not part of our crawfish bowl. Like, we're just crawfish.
Oh my gosh! So I'm in the Philippines one time because I get to travel for work. I'm in the Philippines. There are no hungry people in the Philippines, FYI. If somebody says they're starting a food pantry in the Philippines, they're lying because there's so much food there. We're in the Philippines, and they're, like, bringing us all this food. It's so great. It's all, and we're stuffed. We're eating, like, every 2 hours. Like, they think we're infants. And we literally had dessert when they bring out boxes of fresh crab legs, like just steamed. And I was like, yeah, I know. After dessert, then they brought those out. And it was a core memory of mine, right? I could close my eyes, salivate, the whole Pavlov's dog thing. Yeah, so you don't get crab legs much. And so I guess that's not Louisiana. It's only crawfish, shrimp, etouffee, beignets, Okay. Did you grow up going to New Orleans?
No, so I'm from Houghton, Louisiana, and that's like northwest.
Okay.
My grandma makes, we call her honey, so we got honey big pop. She makes red beans and rice. And so that's probably my favorite Louisiana dish.
Down with that.
Yo, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I did a little research on Kylie.
Okay.
You were the Louisiana Student of the Year finalist ACT of 35. I mean, no wonder you get the Belmont. So with all this academic prowess in Louisiana, why go chase a dream for music?
That's a question that I'm still answering, I think. And for the longest time, I was so, I think, scared to say that I wanted to pursue music because I did do really well in school. I was kind of expected, I guess, to go a more practical route, like, oh, go be a doctor, go be a lawyer. And so I kind of always was like, oh, I was scared to say like I wanted to do music, but music was always my passion. And I loved writing and performing and just everything about it more than anything else. And it wasn't until my sophomore year of high school that my parents encouraged me to make a social media account and start putting my songs and my music out there just to see, because they know I'm a very practical person. That's why I'm at Belmont, because I feel like Belmont definitely bridges the gap between like a really like impractical feeling dream and like, okay, here are the logical real world steps and applications of it.
Yeah.
And so I started posting and people seemed to really like it. And I just, every time I would go perform or I would take a step towards the music direction, God just put such a peace over me and just over like what I was doing. And I was like, this just feels right. And anytime I would give another answer or try and act like I was going to do something else, like I just felt so uneasy and unsettled by it. And so I kind of decided, I was like, well, you know, I guess it doesn't really matter what people want me to do. It doesn't really matter what my ACT score is or what, you know, people think that I should be doing with my life. It matters what the Lord put me here for. And I feel like that's music. And that's what I'm chasing, as impossible as it feels some days. And as silly sometimes that I feel saying that I'm chasing it. I just couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Don't we kind of like believe though that people who are making it, and historically, these are high IQ, high functioning individuals.
That's right.
Like, you know, Michael Jackson, like all, like you talk about these iconic stars. I don't know if they did good in school, their GPAs, but like you're feeling like they're brilliant, right?
Yeah.
It's not absolutely. Like they stumble into a bar, grab a guitar, and we're like, oh, he, you know, he can't read, but man, can he sing, right?
There might be some of those.
So? Okay, country stars, who do you think struggles the most taking the ACT? Huh?
I'm not going to name it because I know somebody who plays for them.
Yeah?
You know, like, he sings that show at some point.
I feel like maybe they would invite me if I was honest about it.
I don't know. Like, I don't know Luke Combs enough, but I wonder how well he did.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel like they weren't studying. They were in the woods hunting and fishing. Right.
Yeah.
Just playing guitar.
For sure.
Playing guitar.
Reading something, it was like Guitar Magazine, or it was like, you know, a Clapton biography.
Yeah, Willie Nelson lyrics. Yeah. Right. Okay. So, but that was a little bit of a hill for you to climb, to have to explain to, like, I guess teachers and people, like, my intelligence isn't for you to distribute to the world. Yeah.
Absolutely. And once I think I kind of broke through that initial fear of what people were going to think, because I was so scared of failing and of people being like, oh, should have done something else, or, you know, just what people think. It's so scary, especially in this day and age of like everything so publicized and online and social media. But once I kind of like hit that, I guess I don't care really what people think, then I was met with so much support. Like my hometown, I like could not express how grateful I am to them for just supporting me and everything that I do. Yeah. I do love getting to go home. I mean, Nashville is amazing, but I love getting to go home and see all of the people who have supported me since day one.
So take us back to these I call them checkpoints, but you said the Lord kept putting things in your pathway that said music is it. What were some of those for you, Kylie, those practical, or you just knew that you knew moments where the Lord was like, no, I've gifted you in this. This is what I've called you to do. What were a couple of those?
Yeah. So I made my TikTok account, I think in April of my sophomore year of high school. And 2 months later, I had been contacted by an agency here in Nashville who was like, hey, we see something in you. They had worked with Ann Wilson previously, and I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like God opened that door quick. And you know, you kind of are uneasy whenever people reach out to you online because you're not really sure if this is legit or not.
Yeah.
But they reached out and we did some research, felt like this is a door that God opened for a reason. And so I got to come up to Nashville for a whole week of just songwriting when I was, I believe, 16, maybe just turned 17. And in that week was, I looked at my parents, I found Belmont that week, and I looked at them, I was like, I'm going to live here and I'm going to do this, like, without a doubt. And just being around so much creativity and just being in this city, I can't even explain the peace that I feel like living here, and the peace that I feel every time I get to write a song with somebody or get to go into one of those rooms or get to perform at a writer's round. And so that was a really big moment for me, that kind of time, that summer in between sophomore and junior year. And then my senior year, I guess it was the week after I graduated high school, I released my first single. And that was really exciting, just getting to, you know, see my name on like Spotify and Apple.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then pretty soon my contract with that agency kind of ended. It was more of a like 2-song deal. And so then like I'm 100% independent. Like I got to figure out how to do this on my own. I come here to Belmont, and the first night that I had moved in, everybody from my building went down to the lawn and brought their guitars, their cajons, their bass kits. They brought everything. And we just had like this big, like, cuts. It was the most Belmont thing I'd ever seen. Yeah.
It's but, like they, it was High just, School Musical meets college is what Belmont's like.
I feel like I go to college at High School Musical.
Yeah.
Literally all the time.
Yeah.
But that night, like, everybody, we're just like sitting around, we're singing, and it's just so, I don't even know the word. Like, it was just so exciting. I just felt so at home and at peace. I was like, wow, like this is something I think can only come from the Lord. And I was like, I know I would not have that feeling anywhere else or trying to pursue anything else. And so then I started, you know, writing with people here and started, you know, I fund my own recording and everything with a little bit of help from the parents every now and then.
Thanks, but, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, shout out Mom and Dad. Thank y'all. But I've gotten to record with some incredible people here, gotten to just see like my vision, I guess, come to life for music. And Jesus in a Bar was kind of like the start of that. That song has done so much for me, opened so many doors. And it's just been so rewarding to see such a scary risk, I guess, pay off in such a big way.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? And at some level, you talk about faith at a pretty young age. So I assume that there was some of that in your development, right, growing up. But we have this adoption of like sacred versus secular, right? This is sacred. The songs in the church with the pews and the hymnals, and this is sacred. And then anything outside the church, that's all secular. But like hearing you talk about like the lawn at Belmont and this stuff, there's a part of that that feels spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, this feels like this creativity is like God's DNA in this.
Yeah, and we were singing Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. Like, how was that?
But there is this, and even like non-Christian artists talk about very almost like spiritual moments, and there's some of that creativity. Now, you are performer and songwriter, is that right?
I am. I'm just artist, singer, songwriter.
Okay. How would you split that up? It's like, it's 50-50, or do you like, ooh, I love the songwriting, Like, where does it fall for you?
I'd say I'm pretty 50-50. Okay. I think everybody's a little bit different, but I love the writing just as much as I love getting to share it.
Okay.
And there was a second during the week that I got to come up to Nashville, mm-hmm. and song night, there was a second where I was like, I could just sit in a room all day and just write and just do that for my career. And then the thought of somebody else singing my song, I was like, oh, scratch that. I can't do that. Like, I want to be the one saying these things. I want people to, you know, it's like, hear the emotion like I have with the song. And so, and there's no, I guess, joy that I feel more than whenever I am performing. Yeah. And so that is like, it reminds me, I'm like, okay, no, I'm both. I gotta pursue the whole thing. I gotta do both.
I wonder how much that feeling would change if somebody put a hold on one of those songs.
Oh, depending on who it is. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I want to sing it unless it's, you know, like Reba, right? A goat.
I might make her let me be like Batgirl. Yeah, lady, yeah.
Lady Wilson goes, I'm going to hold that song for the next album. She'd be like,
yeah.
You can sing it all you want, girl. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of Lainey, what are some of the inspirations for you? Who have been inspirations for you musically in your sort of development of your own voice?
Gosh, I love Lainey. She's also a Louisiana girl. And I admire her a lot because she was in Nashville for over 10 years before anything happened for her. Yeah. And I think that type of like resilience is incredible. And I hope that I have that type of resilience if it takes me that long. Growing up, I love young Miranda Lambert, her sass and her like in her Pistol Annie's era. Mm-hmm. Oh, I lived for that. Gunpowder and Lead is like my theme song. Like I love that song.
Of course it is.
You know, I'm going to show you what little girls are made of. Yeah. Gunpowder and Lead. I wish I wrote that song. But I'm a big, big fan now of all the modern country women.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to admire Ella, Megan. I love Emily Ann Roberts. I love just her little cute personality and her family and everything. I'm trying to think of some others. I was a big, big fan of Garth Brooks growing up. Love his stuff. Friends in Low Places.
Rumor is him and Trisha hang out there sometimes. Like, they make appearances at their Friends in Low Places on the regular, I guess. On Broadway.
So
yeah,
I grew up for a while in a small town like outside of Nashville, and there's a guy that went to my dad's church that for years was Garth Brooks' manager, like tour manager. So we could have gotten like any of the tickets we want, but my dad wasn't a country music fan.
100%.
My dad wasn't a fan of music.
The greatest show I've ever seen.
And so like we just never. My dad was like, "Nah, thanks." Right, but I used to have all of these signed Garth Brooks stuff everywhere. But we never went.
Twice, so much twice in the greatest show I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So in this, and again, I think it's a good time to be Kylie Small. If I'm advising, I'm not. I'm just a guy sitting on the couch.
What do you mean?
Country, the girl power country music has made a resurgence.
Yeah.
In the 90s, we had it happen, and now she listed Lainey and Ella and Megan, and my daughter just went on Megan Maroney in Atlanta, I think, last week. There has been a resurgence of, we've moved from bro country, which was a terrible era, mm-hmm. by the way, into this girl power country. And I think if you're a young female artist, the timing can't be better, I think. So hopefully that pans out for you. And I love everybody you listed. Like, I'm a big fan. I'm the guy that loves so much music, but I can't clap on beat. Brian knows it to be true.
Yeah. Okay. Have you had resistance though? Like, whether it be because of like wanting to be an artist and being a female or your faith, what kind of resistance have you had yet, or have you not really hit the walls on that?
I haven't hit that wall yet. Great. I'm sure I will here soon. But I do think it is a great time to be a female country artist, especially a faith-based one. I think right now the world is just so in like desperation and in need of hope, and they're kind of clinging to anything. My generation is the lowest, has the lowest percentage of atheists that we've seen in a really long time. And I think it's just because we've acknowledged that, okay, there's mm-hmm. got to be something bigger and better out there. And it doesn't mean we have the highest rate of Christians, but we're the most receptive to the gospel, my generation is. And so I think that putting songs that have Christian themes and show the hope of Jesus into a secular world, especially, I mean, country music, that meets people of all different types and all different walks of life. And so I think that because of that, I haven't met that resistance yet. hopefully, I hope that I don't. And the Lord just keeps letting things happen and doors open. But I mean, I think that whenever I do meet that resistance, that it's a good test of faith and showing that it doesn't really matter. I'm going to keep doing my thing. And I'm confident in my faith, and I'm confident in my relationship with Jesus, that whenever that time does come, that I think he's got it. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah. And the resistance might not happen there. We were talking just off air before. We're all going to have obstacles. Right. You're like, no doubt you're not where you are already in Belmont without like having some scars, some stuff in your life.
Yeah,
of course.
For sure.
You're not going to write the songs you write just from a place of happiness and Disney World and butterflies. Like there's some real. Yeah. So there will be resistance because there's adversarial forces and stuff. Yeah. It might not be in the music. It might not be in the thing, but I love, like, there's an element of being grounded in your faith, being grounded in the word. Like, those things will keep us centered regardless, whether we have the resistance or not. Sometimes I think success can be as dangerous. It's not the resistance. It's this wild success that opens all these doors that will, if we're not careful, cause us to walk away from the Lord. You seem pretty set. Like, I know where I stand with Jesus. Right? What are the people, because you mentioned artists that you really liked, what are some of the people who have influenced you spiritually to be so rooted in your faith?
My parents brought me up in a Christian household. My parents are the best example of what it looks like to love the Lord and love each other, and like I want a marriage just like theirs one day. I gave my life to Christ at a really, really young age. I was 4 years old whenever I accepted, you know, Jesus and entered in that relationship. And I get a lot of like kind of pushback. People are like, whoa, like you don't even know what you're talking about then. But I remember exactly where I was. I was in my other grandma, we call it Bibe. I was in Bibe's car after vacation Bible school. I know my grandparent names are kind of odd, but I was the oldest. I got the name here.
Honey, Big Pop. What was this one?
Bibe and Poppy. Those are
Bibe
my other
and
two
Poppy? Fantastic. Yes.
I was the oldest. I got to name them, so that was all my doing.
Bibe.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
There's a whole story behind that. Basically, her name is Brenda, so she wanted to be Bibi, but I had like a real thick accent as a kid, and
Shocker.
So I was like, Bibe, Bibe. I know, right? And so we just switched it to Bibe, is the story there. Anyway.
So they were influences spiritually, though. These people love the Lord, and...
Oh, yes. And my grandparents, too. That's what I was going to mention. My grandmas, both the Honey Bibe, I think, are the two most faithful and obedient to the Lord women I've, like, ever watched. My honey, she battled breast cancer, and now she's cancer-free and everything, but her faith never wavered in that. Bibe has had many challenges in her life, just with different family conflicts and everything, and she still chooses to be the most positive, sweet, kind woman there is. You will never meet a nicer person than my Bibe. And so just, I think the women in my life, watching how they carry themselves and how they treat their families and they treat their husbands and just, and anybody, like my grandmas are the best about whenever we see somebody on the side of the road, you know, like the cynical nature of me wants to be like, oh, like they don't actually need it. You know, they're just, you know, begging for money. They're like, no, what if like this is the little bit of Jesus they needed? And so I think them, my mom, my dad are the just best examples. I'm so, so lucky to have a family that loves the Lord and that brought me up in a place that Christ was always the center.
Yeah. So Kylie, you're just learning about us. We're just learning about you, but we love college students. That's part of the heart of Brian and I. We have a deep passion for young adults and college students.
Yeah.
We understand that college, freshman year college, is the most difficult year of college. I mean, just hands down, first semester.
More people will drop out, that kind of stuff.
They just don't know themselves. They don't find their community. How have you found a faith community there in Nashville and or Belmont? Was that experience easy or was it like challenging? Now, the music community in Belmont's easy. Everybody's got a guitar.
Yeah.
Like there's the 5 G's of Belmont or something. And like one's their guitar. They're like, I don't know. I remember there's... But you can ask somebody, they'll tell you the 5 G's about
right.
And one of them is guitar. Everybody's got a guitar. But I'm sure you found a music community. But how have you found a community locally to keep you kind of settled and anchored in?
It definitely was tough. freshman year of college was the most culture shock and just the most decisions that I've ever had to make and chose the wrong ones. I had never been exposed to or around like party culture, anything like that. And Belmont's like a private Christian college, you know, it's not a huge party school or anything like that, but just the city of Nashville and just the bar scene and everything like that. And being exposed to that for the first time in my life was like so overwhelming. And I gave in to temptation just time and time again and made so many like awful decisions and definitely messed up my witness for a little while. But I'm so grateful I did. I found a church here that I just adore. It's called Way Church. And it's a pretty new church.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, for
sure. Yeah, he's a pastor. And he I think is so eloquent in the way that he like explains the gospel and everything, especially to such a young church. It's almost all college students. Like everybody at the church is very young adult. And the community there is incredible. I've gotten plugged into a small group there that I can, you know, text any of them on the daily. And I have found now like my community at Belmont of girls who do love the Lord and, you know, do Bible studies and that sort of thing. And so accountability, I think, is so important, especially moving somewhere where you do not know a soul. I did not know anybody in Nashville whenever I moved here. And I think that let me, you know, kind of not hold myself accountable. Back home, people knew that I led worship at church and people knew what I stood for, but here nobody knew it. And so it was really easy to be like, oh, I can do whatever I want. And the Lord quickly kind of hit me on the forehead and was like, hey, put you there for a reason and don't go missing this opportunity that I gave you.
Yeah, I love Way Church. I know Pastor Noah, Grant, Cheyenne Skeldon are good people that are there. There were things, some other friends of ours that just, they did it. That's a tough neighborhood because the Way Church is in East Nashville, and mm-hmm. East Nashville is like artist central.
Yeah,
like young entrepreneurs and artists, and it's very much like an unreached section of Nashville.
Yeah,
like it's this weird kind of. There's a lot of churches, a lot of places. East Nashville is not where it's at.
Yeah.
So it's a great church, and they're doing great things over there, and I love Noah what he's doing. And it's so important. I'm so happy for you that you found Christian community. I think that is one of the things that we've learned about young adults, especially that if it doesn't happen early, it's really hard to make happen later.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there is this formative stuff that happens as you're really walking with Jesus, that when we get over on the shoulder of the road and we start to like let our moral compass begin to like waver a little, it's the Lord's love for us. He knows your passion, your heart, your goals. And these things out in the margins or off the shoulder of the road, you know, they steal from you. They're not adding. Mm-hmm. Like the Lord's not giving these don'ts because he's a, like, I don't know, just a party foul. Like, yeah. That's not the Lord. I mean, you read the scriptures and he was always at the party. He was at the places, like he was the life of the party. All these people that are coming to hear what he has to say. He's the most interesting person in every room. And when you start to say, wait a minute. I don't think this is a don't because it's like just out of bounds. It's because it's hurting me. And it's not a detour, it's a distraction. And there's so many in Nashville with your heart and music and stuff like that. And then Jesus in a bar. What kind of opportunities are you getting now, like in Nashville to play live and to do that? What's that look like?
I do mostly writers' rounds. I don't play a ton on Broadway just because I don't love playing covers as much.
That's all Broadway is.
My own stuff.
Yeah.
It's all Broadway.
For sure.
There's a round in Nashville called Jesus in a Bar. And I didn't learn about this until after I released my song. And they just reached out to me. We're like, hey, we want you to come play your song at our round. That's like the same title. I was like, so cool.
I love that.
But it has opened the door for me meeting so many people, so many different execs and producers and different, you know, label heads and that sort of thing. And so that's been really exciting. I'm still independent because I want to make sure that I'm making the best choice for like my career and everything and not get too like, trigger happy with that side of it, the business side of things. But it's still been exciting to, you know, get those offers and get, you know, get to get in those buildings and walk through those doors.
I've spent enough time in Nashville to know that there's a couple versions of Nashville.
Okay.
So there's Broadway, which is like
out of towners.
Yeah, bachelorette parties.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's basically raunchy.
How do you know it's bachelorette parties?
Have you ever been to Broadway?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, you don't have to be on Broadway. They're wearing sashes all over town. Once it's bride, once it's a bridesmaid.
Yeah. So okay. Valid. Valid.
It's a great opening line for a song that I'll tell you about later. It's for the song's already out.
Yeah.
And then within the music community, and I talked to Dave Barnes a couple years ago about this because he's writing now, doing a lot of writing, still recording, but a lot of his writing is in the country music. And I was like, so what's it like to be a Christian in the midst of Music City? And he goes, I don't know what you mean. There's so many of us.
Yeah.
In the industry, in the country music industry, beyond Christian music.
Yeah.
There's believers all throughout the industry. What people see is Broadway from the outside.
Country music, like, Broadway.
Yeah. And the debauchery that is. What's happening, I think, in a lot of spaces in Nashville is a lot of believers helping other believers make music. So it's what the exterior looks like is one thing. What's happening in a lot of spaces there is that God is doing something in Central Tennessee.
Tennessee,
and has been in that industry.
Don't you think there's this element, though, of it's like there's since Prohibition, since that,
100 years ago?
Right? Since Prohibition, but like as Christians in the South, we have these very specific lines of morality, especially centered around alcohol or that. And country music has a lot of that in the lyrics. Lyrics are alcohol oriented or this and that. Where we've said, okay, that's, you can't be Christian and be around that or any of that. And I'll say this, I don't drink. Like, I don't drink. Now, I've never needed any of my inhibitions lowered. Like, as a person, I don't need to drink. I feel like God created me. I wake up 2 beers in. I never needed extra.
Wait, I like that. I'm going to write that down.
Bro, I never needed that.
Yeah, write it.
I love, like, I just wake up naturally, like, let's go, let's do it. When I was young and was there, I was in a party scene. Nobody was offering me anything because they were like, he's had enough. But I was stone cold sober. Right. Like, but I think when you have Jesus, there is a boldness, there's an adventure. God didn't ask me to settle down, he asked me to turn up. Like, I mean that. But we do have these things that make us draw these lines that say, okay, you sing a song that has this in the lyric, you can't be Christian and your community can't be Christian. You can't be walking with Jesus.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll say that I don't know anybody, even around alcohol, I don't know anybody who says, man, my life was falling apart and everything got better when I started drinking. Like, I don't know anybody that says that. Nobody. I know a lot of people that say the opposite.
Yeah.
But we just made that the central thing.
Right. What I think Kylie's hit on with her song,
yeah,
others in the music industry is, especially for her generation, they wanna have conversations about the tension of it. Like, they're not trying to be on K-Love going, like, they know Jesus loves them, and K-Love, you're gonna hear Jesus loves me.
Yeah.
But songs like Jesus in the Bar goes, hey, in the midst of this messy life that we actually live, Jesus shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally like the heart of the song.
And so I think that's for your generation. That's the conversation you want to have. And you see it if you listen to other country music and even those who aren't really believers, the Morgan Wallens of the world, the Jelly Rolls on the sort of fence about it. It's this weaving of like my search for who Jesus is and my search for faith in the midst of a life that's really messy. And I think that's where country music is falling. And faith-based country music, Ann Wilson does a great job with it as well. And so I think Jesus in a Bar and other songs that come out of you like that will find a home, because I think there's a generation going, I'm walking in that space.
Do you feel yourself holding that tension as you write, as you perform, as you build community? Is that something you talk about it, or is it internal? What's that like?
Talking about like my faith and the country scene,
all of that, you know.
Yeah, I'm it absolutely. So because I am a faith-based country artist, my faith always comes first. And so in my songs that even have nothing to do with the Lord or anything like that, I try not to glorify sin. I try not to, I don't use profanity in any of my songs. I think I have one coming out soon and it says hell, but like the Bible says hell. So like, you know, but I wouldn't say anything like other than that. I have
the
young.
The Bible says hell. If you're going to use biblical words, then the margin's bigger.
Yeah. Well, okay, the Bible does say some words, should, but I'm but like, I'm just, whoa.
Yeah.
But I am very mindful, I think, of my other songs that maybe don't mention that, because I want like my name and my image to have a positive reflection on Jesus. And I also have a young audience. A lot of like my little sister and like her age group, they're about to be freshmen in high school, and then even younger than that, young girls in elementary school, I know, listen to my songs. And so I do try to be careful for that, because I want to be a good role model for them. And it is hard though, because like, I'll catch myself like, oh, that'd be a good line, but I'm like, would that be a good reflection of Christ? Yeah. And so it is a tough balance. And even whenever I'm playing live and everything, like I'll go to make a joke sometimes and I'm like, yeah, that maybe is tasteless. Let me not say that. And so it definitely does kind of keep me on my toes, just trying to make sure that I do reflect the Lord the best I possibly can while still doing country music.
So let's talk about the songs Kylie doesn't sing for people. Because you know this, is you're a singer-songwriter somewhat. You're creative.
Sure.
I'm creative, but not a singer-songwriter. Are there songs that are just... when you're in that sort of in the presence of God, when you're praying, when you're in your worship, are there songs that you sing that are strictly for Jesus? Like that you're writing in the moment?
Good question.
And you don't have to sing them for us, but I'm just saying, as a person who does music, is it something that like you just feel the Spirit prompting you in a song or a prayer?
Oh, absolutely. And there are songs that I would never put out or show anybody because they are so personal. I think that, you know, your walk with the Lord is a personal thing. I don't think it's a private thing. You know, I think that people do need to see that and see the light of Jesus in you in order to, you know, find the Lord themselves. But there are a lot of things that I've written about that are super personal between me and Jesus that I'm like, you know, that's something I'm gonna keep for myself. Just a lot of things that I guess he has helped me overcome as like a young female navigating the world and the industry as it is now and navigating, you know, relationships and that sort of thing. I gave up a lot, I think, to come to Nashville and to pursue this, relationships being one of them. And it's so, I guess, funny now looking back on it, because I'm like, oh, like that's obviously not the plan God had for me. It's not the person God had for me or anything. But at the time, yeah, it feels like the biggest thing in the world. It's like, God, I'm going to choose you and choose your plan and choose this career over a person and over that security. And so, yeah, there's a lot of songs I've written that are about that I don't think anybody needs to hear, but it's nice for me to have them.
I think we're learning as a Christian audience that we have buying power.
Right, yeah.
To... So like if you're showing up and you're a Christian artist, the audience is saying, yo, we can watch movies. You know, we had a producer on the show a few weeks ago, and that's and we're starting to see Christian audiences are saying, no, I'll pay you to produce good movies. I'll get behind the creativity and the content as a Christian audience. And I don't only... And I love worship. I love worship.
Yeah.
But I don't only want my music to be, you know, holy thou art, you know, marvelous and wonderful is the Lord. Like, I want that. But I also, like, want the full spectrum of God's creativity. And I don't think you're going to have to abandon the Lord to have success. I just don't believe it.
I don't think there is success apart from that.
No, of course not. But there is some learning how to be blessed in Babylon, so to speak. Like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, all of them they're in captivity. They're in a place that's not God-centric, but they're so blessed. Yeah. Wow.
Brian's deep thoughts.
I am. I'm just thinking. Yeah, man. I know. Like you what
I'm watching
what
the gears turn.
You, like, what are you? How old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh my gosh! Like, she can go nuclear for the Lord at this point. Like, if you will just fully and continue to give him your whole heart, he is not afraid that you will outshine him.
I like that.
When you shine, he beams with pride. And like, if there's this, if the gate is narrow and the path is narrow, like following the Lord, but the blessings aren't narrow.
No.
Right? The blessings aren't limited there. And I don't know that we're having enough conversations with people like you, because we're both old, to say,
no,
oh my gosh, you can. Yes, you can. And I don't know if it'll be this deal or this deal or this publishing company or this place or whatever, but the Holy Spirit will lead you. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will. He'll lead you and guide you. You'll know his voice. And it's just, man, I'm so hyped right now.
Thank you. No, me too. I get chills thinking
of
that.
I'm so hyped thinking about you just going for Jesus and your friends and your Bible study and your church and just being full, no filter, creative, writing and believing and all of it and getting in the messy side of it.
What I love about her age and what I love about this generation is they have no fear about being unapologetically who they are. Like, they can...
Yeah.
Kylie can be a country artist who loves Jesus. And that's her, and her generation is like, that's cool. Our generation was like, again, the lines. You can be a country artist. If you like Jesus, you don't have to tell us that.
You can be Southern gospel.
Yeah. That's over there. But like country. But there are no more, like, there's limited lines in their generation. And I love that. And I love what they are doing with that.
Yeah.
Capacity to push boundaries of what we've understood as being the sacred and the secular, and finding some overlap where red and yellow make orange, and they live in this sort of orange space instead of red or yellow.
Yeah,
for sure. The song Jesus in a Bar, I had first started writing it after I was in Nashville for I was in Nashville for something before I had moved here, and I prayed before I started my set. And then a woman came up to me after my set and was like, "Hey, I haven't felt the Holy Spirit in a long time. Like, you're like, that was special what you just did. Like, don't ever stop like praying in bars." And I was like, that was like the moment where I was like, Jesus just showed up in a really crazy way. And so I think it is about like blending those lines and not, you know, being scared to bring Jesus to a place that people would usually kind of turn their nose up to.
Especially if you're being sent.
Yeah.
If the Lord is sending you into this place, that's totally different. If you've heard his voice and he's sending you, and the people who are just going because, hey, the Smalls girl said I can find Jesus in a bar, so let's do it. As opposed to, I'm being sent here by the Lord to be his light in this place.
Yeah. Right. And so many people definitely misinterpreted my song.
Really?
Like, whenever I first posted it. Yes. Yeah, so I kind of had to post almost a disclaimer or like an explanation kind of whenever I released the song. Like, yeah. I wrote out this whole thing in my notes app and I posted it. And I was like, just by the way, I was like, this is not me saying go just hang out in bars for fun. I was like, because you're not Jesus. Yeah. Like, Jesus could resist the temptation. We can't. And I know we can't, because I couldn't. Like, you know, and so it's kind of like a reminder. It's like, hey, Jesus will meet you there, but maybe don't just like make that your like.
You go look
for sure. Let Jesus meet you there instead of you don't have to meet him there. You can meet him at Applebee's or something, like Chili's.
Yeah.
You're like the Mexican or whatever. Like, yeah.
I feel God in the Chili's tonight. Yeah. You know that.
I feel like I've had to do that with sermons I've preached, like where people are like, here's a disclaimer. After the fact, right?
I thought you were saying they were better in a bar than they would have been in church.
I wish, you know, bars don't invite me to preach. I would totally do a set in a bar.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Kylie, we want to honor your time. We got a couple questions. We wrap every show up with. So, Brian, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah.
Somebody who's out there that just is struggling to pull the trigger on their dream, their passion, like whether it's because they have a great ACT score or maybe they feel like they're not enough, what would you say to that person, like just as an encouragement to like inspire them to start it, to do something?
Regret is so much worse than failure. I think it's so much easier to live with yourself knowing you tried and you went all out for it than you never tried at all. And what's the worst that could happen, you know? Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, you know, Sally Joe's mama from your hometown is calling you a failure on Facebook. Like, wow, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I would so much rather Sally Joe's mama call me a failure on Facebook than like me to get, you know, get to heaven and the Lord be like, man, you missed out on so much. Yeah. Like, I had so much for you and you didn't do it, you know? So I think kind of putting it into that perspective was like, it really doesn't matter that much. What people think, it matters, you know, what I know the Lord is calling me to do.
Hey, okay, can I follow with one question? And then Jeff's got the last one. How will you know when you've made it?
I've been asked a lot, like, what is success to me? And I think my pride says, oh, success is having like number one on Billboard. Success is, you know, being like a household country artist name. Yeah. Success is on all stadiums. But whenever I do, you know, kind of sit and I'm writing songs alone, I'm writing songs for Jesus, success is one person hearing my music and coming to the Lord. And so in that sense, like, I already have succeeded. I've had so many DMs. Like, gosh, it makes me like emotional talking about it. Yeah. I've had so many DMs of people messaging me and saying like, hey, I have walked away from the church because I felt judged for this, or I have ignored Jesus because I felt like he would never accept me doing this sin. And like, your song and your music made me realize like, wait, like, that's not the case. And like, it's brought me back to my faith. And so in that sense, I already have succeeded. And it's been really, really rewarding. But, you know,
do you have that written down somewhere?
I still
somewhere?
Want more.
Do you have that written down?
Do I have that written down somewhere? I need to. No,
yeah,
I
would really encourage you. Maybe sneak it into your songs, even if it's not a song that you, but like, because that will be a magnetic north. I'm doing like a compass hand. That will be like a magnetic north for you to come back to. If the one person hears it, whether they write it, the DM or not.
So, Kylie, here at a couple of nobodies, we see nobodies as a good thing. Sometimes it's not always seen as a good thing, but here it is. But who is a nobody in your life that you would want the world to know about?
I'm going to go with my little sister. I'm going to get emotional. This is really embarrassing. Hold on. My little sister is my favorite person in the world. And she had to live so much of her life in my shadow. Just not like on purpose, just because I was so loud and I had such like a large like personality and everything. And so she kind of always took the back seat to let me have that spotlight. And now that she's like the only one at home and everything, she is, my gosh, she's coming out of her shell and she is just being such a light in her school, and she's about to go into high school. And so I think like her realizing that she's not a nobody has been just the most incredible thing. And I love talking about my little sister. Her name's Addie. I actually named her, which I think is like really cool. But I think watching her get to become this person, get to become like the woman of Christ that like God made her to be, and not, you know, oh, not Kylie's little sister, has been the most fun thing ever to get to watch. And so, like you mentioned, like I got student of the year and everything like that, my senior year and all that. She just got that for her eighth grade year. And it has been the best feeling ever as like a big sister to watch my little sister like grow into her own person and everything. And because I think she always, she'd probably kill me if she heard me say this, but I think she always kind of felt like she had to take the back seat and like had to be a nobody so that I could be somebody. And like, that's so not true. She's so like her own person and she's so incredible. And so that's, she's my person. And so,
Kylie, what a joy. As I said to Brian before we started, I said, I think we're catching her on the rise. We're going to look back and go, hey, she was on a couple of nobodies when nobody knew her, but now everybody knows her. So
yeah,
Kylie, what a joy to have you on. As we say every time, here with a couple of nobodies, you never have to try to be somebody. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, well, thank you all so much for having me. Yeah. I really appreciate it, guys.